Another church has been attacked in the Iraqi city of Kirkuk. The bombing comes less than 2 weeks after a Catholic and an evangelical church were targeted. The latest attack on St. Ephraim's Syrian Orthodox Church happened yesterday while security staff spotted a vehicle carrying suspicious devices. The parish priest escaped without injury. We asked John Pontifex, the head of press and information at Aid to the Church in Need, how the Iraqi government is responding to these attacks.
There doesn't seem to be any end to this, does there?
There doesn't. It does seem to come in waves, though. We know that in 2006 and in 2004 that there were very serious waves of attacks on churches, some of them simultaneous attacks. The bombs went off at exactly the same time in a number of places, a number of churches being targeted. But what we're seeing here is, again, attacks taking place in August. August, for some reason, has been a focal point for attacks of this kind. It's an observation I make having followed the situation for the church in Iraq since the fall of Saddam in 2003. And it raises the specter very clearly of the widespread emigration of Christians from Iraq, and more the question, how long can they stand?
Again, it's been raised. We were talking about that, and it's been raised by obviously religious in the country that people are leaving. People are afraid to stay.
They are afraid to stay. And interestingly, working on this piece, which I sent out following the interview I had with Archbishop Louis Sacco, the Archbishop of Kirkuk, he underlined to me in the conversation how the Christians are so afraid. And one of the things that makes them afraid is because, as he puts it, they themselves, as Christians, have no part to play in local politics. There's no political gain thereby to attack them. And this actually makes the fear worse, because if you're doing nothing that could possibly be perceived as problematic, how can you then change your position and thereby protect yourself better? Very difficult.
Do they know exactly who these people are?
He has no idea. I asked him that directly, and it seems from our sources that what you can detect is a pattern which, in these attacks, we had two attacks, obviously, on August the 2nd, in which two other churches were attacked in Kirkuk. And those attacks and this one point to a particular pattern. And that pattern gives you a clue as to the sorts of intentions that lie behind an attack of this kind, if not the actual people themselves, identifying them. And the intention is becoming clearer, that they really want to destabilize the Christian community themselves. And I notice very strongly when I spoke to Archbishop Sacco yesterday that his line was to say, this is only happening because we are Christians. Maybe the people want to empty this city of Christians. Those were his words. And he wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago after the first two attacks. But because of a pattern that's emerging now, you can see much more clearly what the motivation is.
The whole thing, John, begs the question, what is the government doing about this?
This is the question. This is the big question. And the government officials, whom the church authorities met yesterday, did promise at last to provide police protection, guards, around churches in Kirkuk. They also said that they would fund the rebuilding of this church in central Kirkuk, the one that was attacked yesterday. But the bishop, and indeed it's a widespread thing across the Christian community, yes, fine, rebuild the church, that's important. Yes, fine, provide us with protection. We know that protection won't be there permanently. And so what about the long-term reassurance that they need of protection? And that question isn't being answered. And we just get this feeling all the time that, you know, the Christian community just isn't a priority for the government in Iraq. And so therefore, they're not going to take the necessary steps. So this is a real problem.
Is there a dialogue between, an ongoing dialogue between the Christian churches and the government?
Yes, very much so. There is a recognition of the Archbishop's status, both here in Kirkuk and elsewhere, the Patriarch in Baghdad, the Patriarch of the Chaldeans, Patriarch Kelly, Delhi. They are in regular contact with the authorities. But it's well understood that the Christian community is tiny, that it's shrinking, that the Christian community has precious little representation in the corridors of power. Even their parliamentary representation is slim. So what this means is that they carry very little clout. They have very little weight that they can bring to bear in political decision making. The only issue there is that the Christian community is seen as a window on the West, because, of course, there is a perceived linkage between the local Christians and the West, and that can be a double-edged sword. And therein lies, I think, many of the problems here. We at Aid to the Church in Need would like to very much echo on behalf of the church in Iraq. I mean, it is simply to ask people to pray. To pray for the Christians in Iraq and elsewhere where the church is persecuted and oppressed and under siege. And, you know, when we go around and we visit and we interview the bishops and others and the local Christian communities themselves, what they do ask us all the time for is, please pray for us. And we really have a responsibility to pass that message on and to echo that call for the solidarity, the compassion of prayer. That's central to everything that we as an organization do. And so, yes, we very much wish to do that.